What is going on? Thanks for tuning in to the MMA podcast. It is Friday, July 27th. Just got the results back from the weigh-ins, and we're here to talk about UFC Calgary going on tomorrow night at the Scotiabank Saddledome in Calgary, Alberta, on the Red Mile. Normally joined by Sweet Pappy Jones, but tonight we have a different co-host, a familiar voice if you're a longtime listener, but it's been a minute since he's been on. You might know him on Twitter at Westland Eagle AH. He is the Westland Eagle. It's Alan. Alan, what's going on, bro?
Nothing much. Feels good to be back riding the airwaves on this roller coaster ride we're having into UFC Calgary, one of the most talked about cards of the year, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is a huge event. Actually, if I was looking ahead to the next week's event, UFC 227, I think this might actually be a better card than the pay-per-view coming the following week. This is going to be a really good card, especially looking at the main card. And that's what we're going to be breaking down this podcast. Not going to be talking about the prelims. Trying to cut down the episode times, so we're going to be focusing on the main card. And it's nice to have the Eagle back. Haven't had him back since, I think we had him on to like break down UFC Korea, which he went to live himself. We have been busy, he has been busy, but it's nice to have him back on the show. And I guess we'll start, like I said, at the main card, starting at lightweight. Alexander Hernandez taking on Olivier Aubin-Mercier. This Alexander Hernandez guy, not really someone I'd heard much about before this event, and I kind of looked into him. I have heard a lot about Olivier Aubin-Mercier, the winner of Tough Canada, has pulled off a lot of wins, known for being really slick on the ground, and has won his last four fights. Especially an impressive first round TKO versus Evan Dunham, showing off some striking skills, finishing that within the first minute, taking on the one loss Alexander Hernandez, who, like I said, I really haven't heard much about, but I was watching an interview with MMA Junkie, and he says, quote, "I'm going to prove I'm the next star. They want something original. They want something real. I'm here to show them what it's about at UFC Calgary." So I'm really I guess he is 1-0 in the UFC, but I don't necessarily remember his UFC debut. So I'm looking forward to seeing this fight. Alan, I think we spoke before. You knew a little bit about this kid. What do you think about this leadoff fight between the Canadian Aubin-Mercier and this new up-and-comer Alexander Hernandez?
Not much more really about Alex. I mean, I watched Hernandez's first fight, and it was very impressive against a guy like Benil Dariush. You know, you're going in there against a guy who's ranked, but let's be honest, like Benil Dariush, like, has had some setbacks in the octagon, and they've all been centered around his chin, with him being caught and knocked out. And I feel like Hernandez was able to easily exploit that and knock him out really quick. And yeah, the kid looks, I mean, he's a blue chip prospect. He looks amazing physically. He's got the size, power, you know, he's got the attitude. I'm not familiar with what Jimmy trains out of, but you know, he has all the momentum going into this fight. The one, you know, thing that you can say though is Olivier Aubin-Mercier has been in there. He went through the Tough House. He lost to Chad Laprise. His only other loss is a decision loss to Diego Fajeda. And I mean, he's like the lightweight GSP, maybe not quite as dynamic, but he's brought on like this new character to where he's the Canadian gangster, growing a mustache. He's kind of doing the whole, you know, playing up his character to, you know, get more likes and views and stuff on Twitter. But I think that this is going to be the real test for Hernandez as to whether or not he's just a blue chip prospect or he's an actual contender that deserves to be ranked number 13 whenever he goes up against a guy like Mercier, who, I mean, has been in there. I think he's got like five or six fights in the UFC, and, you know, has looked dominant in all of his wins. So, you know, that's all I really had to say about this fight. I think it's just a real test. is what I would call it for Hernandez.
Yeah, for sure. Hernandez is going to be stepping out there to kind of prove that that win against Benny El Jarush wasn't a fluke. And you look at that win, it's like the exact opposite of Olivier Aubin Mercier's style. You know, he likes a long, drawn-out fight, likes to use clinch work, likes to get on top, likes to grind guys out, where, you know, Alexander Hernandez came out with this frenetic style, finished him quick, and I think this is going to be one of those classic matchups where we'll see early, you know, if it is a quick finish, a first-round finish, it's likely to go Hernandez's way. But I'm kind of leaning with you a little bit. Olivier Aubin Mercier has a little bit more experience, it seems like. And most matchups where it's a grinder versus a guy who likes to, you know, finish a fight quick, I kind of lean toward the grinder, thinking that he's probably going to be able to engage his fight style, and especially as the fight wears on, I think he might be able to catch Hernandez in a submission there in the second or third round. Moving on to the other fights in the main card, which, you know, not to disparage the fight against Hernandez and Aubin Mercier at all, but these three fights are the three fights that everyone has come to see, starting with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Really, aside from Ronda Rousey, the greatest female champion in the history of the UFC, who pretty recently had her belt taken away from her by Thug Rose Namajunas. Joanna got a chance to try and win the belt back, lost again, and those two losses to Rose back-to-back at UFC 217 and UFC 223 are the only two L's on her career timeline. She's 14-2, taking on Tisha Torres, also coming off a loss to Jessica Andrade. As far as as the style of this fight, I think dictates. I think it, you know, Tisha is a small fighter, even for 115, and she you know, thrives getting inside, clinching, and I just don't think against someone like Joanna, who I'm, you know, has one of the best jabs I think the female or that women's MMA has ever seen. I think this stylistically is going to be a really tough fight for Tisha. You know, not just the jabs, but you know, Jędrzejczyk was so dominant over her title reign. You know, she obviously showed signs of weakness against Thug Rose, but I'm leaning pretty heavily toward Jędrzejczyk to win the fight against Tisha. Not just because she is a superior fighter, but stylistically, you know, like I said, Tisha really would need to get inside, and Joanna is one of the last fighters in WMMA history who you're going to be able to do that against. So, yeah, I'm leaning hard toward the former champ here, who, you know, wants to fight Thug Rose a third time. She's made it known that she wants one more shot at that strawweight belt before she eventually moves up to flyweight, and I cannot wait for the eventual fight between her and Valentina Shevchenko. I think that'll be dynamite. But, Alan, what do you think about this fight?
Yeah, I'm going to have to put some of my favoritism aside because, you know, I've been very vocal on Twitter, supportive of Joanna, going to her fights, being there in Dallas when she won the title, being able to meet her. Joanna is just a killer. And, you know, everybody out there has that one matchup that's going to beat their style. And I feel like Rose is that style that was able to beat, you know, and nullify Joanna. As to how Joanna is going to perform in this fight with Tisha, I think that you can look at their one common opponent. I know MMA math generally doesn't work, but you can kind of look at how Joanna fought Andrade and see how Andrade fought Tisha and see that, like, Tisha, her two losses are what to Rose and then to Andrade. And I feel the reason why she lost both those fights was because of the pressure that those women put on her. They were better pressure fighters than Tisha, and Tisha was unable to get the fight to the ground in those fights and you know, really execute her game plan, because she's more of like that karate style striking to where she's countering and has good movement. I think with Joanna, with the reach, the jab, like you stated, I think all those things add up to allow Joanna to be able to outpoint Tisha and maybe set up a knockout. But Tisha's like really tough. Haven't seen her get knocked out before. You know, I watched her very first pro fight that she had, and I mean, she's in there to take punishment, even though most of the fights she doesn't. So I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna pick Joanna. Probably a 3-round decision. I also think that the 3 rounds like favor Joanna, because I feel like a lot of times when she's fighting 5 rounds, she's holding back and not necessarily using the power that she normally would have in those other rounds. So she's not doing as much damage, and therefore it takes her longer to, you know, nullify those opponents with her, you know, the damage that she's actually capable of. So I definitely feel like Joanna has the advantage in size, strength, pressure. I don't think that Tisha is going to be able to take Joanna down, because we've seen in the past Tisha's also had trouble taking, you know, other people down that weren't even really great wrestlers, just because of the size discrepancy and how small she is. I mean, she's 5 inches shorter than Joanna, and, you know, they're both 115. Tisha, in all honestly, should be an atom weight at 105. So I'm going to go with Joanna on this one, man. It's going to be a close fight, but I think in the end, Joanna is able to outpace her, outwork her, and get a unanimous 3-round decision.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. Tisha's a pretty tenacious fighter, but I think stylistically, this fight definitely weighs toward Joanna. Vegas agrees with us. She's minus 280, the biggest favorite on the main card. A much closer fight where we see Jeremy Stephens as a minus 120 favorite, just by a tiny bit. Jeremy Stephens versus the former champ, Jose Aldo. This is very interesting. You have, you know, the longtime pound-for-pound great, Jose Aldo, who was 25-1 going into the Conor McGregor fight. Since then, 1-3. You really can call it 1-2. I don't know if you should count that loss against Max twice, because it was the same fight really back to back. Max just showing much higher acumen there, showed the next level at 145. Not to say, you know, that Junior's washed up at UFC, which obviously this fight will prove. But going up against Jeremy Stephens, who really, you know, has had such an up and down MMA career, really had a stretch between 2014 and 2017. The guy was 2-5 in 7 fights. It looked like he was kind of getting toward the tail end of his career. And then, boom, a win against Gilbert Melendez, a big TKO victory against Du Ho Choi, and then another KO in the second round against Josh Emmett. And he is looking at a fight against Jose Aldo, which really would be that career-defining win that he's been looking for a long time. Ups and downs, including a loss to Max, just like Aldo is coming off back-to-back. man, I'm going back and forth on this fight. How do you see this fight playing out, Alan?
I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I was there whenever Stevens knocked out Du Ho Choi. You know, everybody knows I'm a huge Korean MMA fan, and I'm able to recognize the deficiencies in guys like Du Ho Choi, because they don't have the movement and the things required to defeat a guy like Jeremy Stephens, because you can't be a straightforward and backwards fighter. You have to be able to put your head on a swivel, move side to side, angle out, things like that. If you look at Jeremy Stephens, like, winning his last 3 fights, they were all either fight of the nights or performance of the nights. And I mean, they were just like slobber knockers, where the, you know, fights before that. He lost to Renato Moicano, and he lost, you know, to Frankie Edgar. He got, you know, decision, but he almost knocked Frankie out. I wanted to bring this up with the last fight with Joanna, where I don't feel like champions who get knocked out should jump back in there with the same opponent. And for Aldo to get back in there with Holloway and get knocked out a second time, just like Joanna lost a second time.
Yeah, it's true.
I just feel like it doesn't help their confidence. It doesn't help them develop any better, and it doesn't get them back on track, because I feel like fighters should take another fight to get back in there and fight somebody different. That way they can, you know, truly see if, like, the deficiency is in them or if it's in, you know, fighting that opponent, you know, whatever it may be. Because I'm really in the belief that all fighters have one person out there that they will never beat. It doesn't matter how hard they try, what they change. Their style doesn't match up with them, whether it be physically, you know, or, you know, just talent wise or, you know, whatever skill it is. But I was looking at this and I was wanting to pick Aldo because, you know, everything tells you that, oh shit, Jeremy Stephens has won 3 fights. He's due to lose now. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. He never wins more than 3 fights in a row. Hell, he hasn't won 3 fights in a row before in a long time, or at least in the UFC. So I was wanting to pick Aldo, but, like, after watching Jeremy Stephens do what he did the last 3 fights and then fighting Duho Choi, he lost the first round to Choi and then came back and just smashed him in the second round. I feel like Jeremy Stephens, like, if he can get Aldo to just stand and trade with him, even though Aldo's quicker, more technical, that if he can, you know, lure him into that type of fight, of firefight, that Jeremy Stephens, you know, with Aldo getting knocked out in his last 2 fights against Holloway, that Jeremy Stephens could put him away and, you know, get, like, that win you were talking about, get that decisive win. So I'm gonna go ahead and go with Stephens. I just feel like, you know, I don't know. Something in me is telling me to pick him, so that's what I'm gonna go with.
I have been back and forth here too. You know, I think just yesterday, thinking about doing this podcast, I was gonna go with Stephens, and that actually is a very interesting take. You know, about rematches and all of that. You know, it's weird, I think, how much we see rematches. Like, you know, Stipe Miocic just got finished in the first round, and as good as a title reign as he had, I don't think just having a good title reign merits an immediate rematch, and him being so entitled, saying, well, I want a rematch, or, you know, I don't know, I might, you know, just like him demanding that, I feel like is very odd, especially after suffering, you know, a first round knockout loss. You know, like I think back to fights like Machida Shogun 1, where it was a really, really close fight and it was a controversial decision and everyone thought the loser won, and Shogun, like, I think fights like that deserve a rematch, but not, you know, Stipe versus DC, which is actually going to be our next show. If you tune in, I think we're going to release it on Sunday. I'll look ahead at the 205 weight class and what we do with that, but enough getting ahead of ourselves, and back to Aldo versus Jeremy Stephens. I've been back and forth on it, but you know what? I just think Jeremy Stephens, he has a lot of wins, but man, he has shown a lot of weaknesses too. I think he's 5-5 in his last 10. And Jose Aldo is just such an elite fighter. I think we see those leg kicks again. I see him, you know, as the fight goes on, chopping away at those legs, and eventually getting a decision victory over Little Heathen in 3 rounds. Bringing us to the main event, Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. I think I said it the right way, right?
Yep.
Hell yeah. Man, this is a rematch we've all been waiting on seeing for a long time. Back UFC 211, when Eddie Alvarez landed an illegal knee to Poirier's head, who was a downed opponent, ruled a no contest. A lot argue that it should have been ruled a DQ win to Dustin. Regardless, they coached up. Opposite one another on The Ultimate Fighter, and now it's time to finally see this, I guess, you know, this is the de facto title eliminator at lightweight. You know, you've got the fight against Khabib and Conor that everyone assumes is going to happen, and then you have these two guys, the winner of which I think, aside from the current champ Nurmagomedov, and of course Conor, has the obvious best case for a title shot. Man, and this is just, I mean, you know, we broke this down a year and change ago, and not really much has changed since that first breakdown. You know, you have both of these guys who are known to have iron chins, and just like I picked Dustin the first time, for similar reasons, I'm going to go with him again. You know, Eddie is known for outlasting guys, known for having an insane gas tank, known for great wrestling, known for great boxing. But you know what else he's known for? Taking a fuckload of shots. And Dustin is a guy who, especially, you know, he early in his career was known for a great ground game, a lot of technique, but really in the last few years has turned up the power and is not a guy you can really eat shot after shot against. He proved that against Justin Gaethje, who has one of the greatest chins of all time. TKO'd the man. And yeah, it took him four rounds, but you know, had him. I think he finished Pettis via a third round TKO. The guy has shown insane power, and I think it's not the kind of power that that Eddie's going to be able to take and keep moving forward. And you know, we are doing the show with another Louisiana native, so you know, I thought about playing devil's advocate here and taking Eddie, because I'm pretty confident our boy is gonna go with Dustin too. But I just see it pretty strongly that Dustin, with that technique and power combined, isn't something that Alvarez is going to be able to rely on his chin to weather. So I got the diamond. Alan, who do you got in the main event?
I don't think there's even a question to ask or a decision to make. It doesn't matter how nervous I get watching my boy Dustin Poirier fight. I'm going to have to go with Dustin. I know a lot of people, you know, question, you know, whether or not he can make it in the main event. But if you look at his past performances, like, nobody has stepped it up to the level that Dustin has in these last couple of fights, where he's gone out there and proved that he's got the technique standing, you know, to basically nullify any of the tools or weapons that any of these other guys bring to the cage. And Dustin doesn't even have to use his wrestling or his submission skills. I mean, he's won all these fights, even the Pettis fight. You know, he used a submission defense, but he wasn't really offensively minded whenever it comes to the submissions. And he's just been able to beat these guys, like, to basically just put it on them until they either submit or their body succumbs to the damage that he's able to do. So, you know, just, it goes to show you, like, Dustin moving to 155 was the best decision that he ever made. And, you know, fighting Eddie for the second time, if you watch the first fight, Dustin went out there, he was controlling the fight. You know, he had Eddie hurt. He tried to capitalize, came in head first, you know, got caught on the chin. Eddie backed him up a little bit. Dustin recovered. And if you watch, whenever he becomes a downed opponent, it's not that he gave up, like Eddie keeps trying to mention. It's that Dustin realized that, hey, you know, I'm back in this. I'm catching my breath, just like he did with Gaethje when he got hurt in the third round. and he was recovering, and he realized, hey, this guy could throw a knee to my head, so I'm going to make myself a downed opponent. It was an aware, conscious decision that he made. It was tactical and strategical. And I feel like this time when he goes in there, if he does get Eddie hurt, he's not going to try and rush things, and he's going to be, you know, calm and basically do what he did with the Gaethje fight. You know, he kept working that counter, and eventually in the fourth round, he caught Gaethje with the, you know, the counter to the leg kick, and, you know, dropped him, you know, or stunned him, and then was able to put him down with, you know, smart, tactical, precise, you know, strikes. So I think all he has to do this time is work his game plan. It's another main event where it's five rounds, and we've seen that Dustin can go into the, you know, fourth round and keep up the pace that he keeps up. We all know Eddie also has amazing cardio, but the one thing I don't think that Eddie has is just the skill, because he's never evolved. He's always been the same thing. He came into the UFC, he lost to Donald Cerrone, didn't look that spectacular. And, you know, when you watch the Gaethje fight and you compare both of those fighters to each other and their performances against Gaethje, I really feel, and the numbers speak for themselves, that, you know, Dustin was the far more technical and just smart fighter, and actually did better work against Justin, you know, landed way more punches. I mean, I think he landed like over 310 strikes, like around 320. I mean, that's insane to land that many strikes on a guy. And whenever it came time to finish him, you know, he was smart about it. So I think that Eddie's going to come in with this same, you know, brawling style. If Eddie does try to change it up, I mean, you're going to wrestle with Dustin. I mean, Dustin's going to out-wrestle you or grab a submission if he needs to. So I'm going to go with Dustin. I know I'm biased on this one, but if Dustin wins this fight, the sky's the limit, man. You know, it doesn't matter who wins this fight. Whoever wins this fight, whether it be Eddie or Dustin, they'll be on standby if the Conor and Khabib fight get made. And they will be in New York weighing in as a substitute alternate in case one of those guys gets hurt, pulls out in the, you know, last few days before the fight. So a very big fight. I'm going to take Dustin Poirier over Eddie Alvarez. I'm actually going to say a first round TKO. I think that Dustin goes in there, does some damage, and Eddie can't recover this time. Dustin has him read perfect and is able to finish it.
Strong pick by the Eagle, taking Dustin in the first round. And if you want to watch the fight, it will be tomorrow, Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern. The Fight Pass card kicks off 6 p.m. the prelims on Fox, and 8 p.m. Eastern, the main card kicks off on Fox for your viewing enjoyment. Tune in to the podcast Sunday. We're going to drop that 205 outlook, and then Monday, me and P Money will be back breaking down the UFC Calgary card, talking about all the results. It's been a pleasure having Alan on for the Eagle. He's on Twitter at Westland Eagle and the MMA podcast. We will see you later. Until then, we gone.